If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it. Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, it's Michelle Beadle. That's right, the Michelle Beadle. You're welcome. You love talking about sports. I love talking about sports. You know the only thing cooler than talking about sports? Sports! And right now, all your favorite sports are on SiriusXM. I'm talking every NFL game, every game from the NBA, NHL, MLB, every NASCAR race, golf major, major conference college sports, and all the top games in the WNBA. If it gets your heart pumping, it's on SiriusXM. So start your free trial of SiriusXM today. Visit SiriusXM.com/believe.
Round one was the tasty morsel, and round two, we're going Sizzler Buffet with the tiny little pizzas. Welcome to the Fantasy NBA Today podcast, the sports ethos presentation hosted by yours truly, me, Aaron Bruschi, and FSWA Hall of Famer, Steve Dr. A. Alexander. Tomorrow, we're going to be back in on winners and losers in fantasy, and this time it will be the Central Division, but back to the tiny little pizzas. I don't know, do you guys remember the tiny little pizzas at Sizzler? I do. That's all I would eat at the Sizzler Buffet. We did our Dynasty Top 10 ranks, and you guys said you wanted more, so it's back to the buffet, and we're going to be looking at who we have at 11 to 20. So I think this is going to be a great conversation, because after looking at it a lot yesterday, I think there's some really interesting trade-offs. And as far as ranks go, it was really enjoyable because of some of the challenges that this section of 11 through 20 in Dynasty Leagues presents. Before we do all that, if you enjoy the show and support what we're doing over here, just give us a like or subscribe to the show. So with that out of the way, let's bring in Steve Alexander. And we had just, I almost don't even want to be facetious about this. We had a really, it was just an amazing time being a part of it. We got to watch you unbox the FSWA Hall of Fame hardware. Just a really cool moment to be a small part of. Now, if you don't mind me prying, sir, have you been able to display this this trophy in some prime real estate in your house?
It's currently on tour. It's like the Stanley Cup or the jug from the British Open. It's making its way around the world right now.
Are people like eating their breakfast on it?
Yeah, they're drinking beer out of it. They're whatever they want to do. I mean, it's kind of a free for all. Actually, no, it is hanging on the wall behind me. I would not say that is the place I spend most of my time.
It's you do have quite the awesome setup there. I should say that if you haven't seen it, you'll probably see it as we do more video here upcoming. It's one of those ultimate man cave kind of a deals that looks super cool that I aspire to having one day.
I'm going to try not to carry this one around with me, though. But one year I won the celebrity football picker in the newspaper. It's me against like the high school football coach. And I won that trophy one year. And it's a big gold football. And A buddy of mine bet me that I wouldn't like carry it around with me for a couple of days. So I pretty much took it wherever I went, and that was fun. Funny for me, I'm sure people were like, "What is this idiot doing?"
You know, you could go any way with this thing, but if you stuck that award in the middle of your dinner table and just made it sit there every day, and if you made your family refer to you as FSW, hey, Hall of Famer Dad, that'd be good. Just give it to them. Let's pay some bills. BetOnline is your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season, from baseball to golf to soccer, all the way to the top fights. UFC, MMA, and boxing. Get every stat, every matchup, even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. And then when the game's over, head on over and gamble more with blackjack, poker, or unwind with the over 150 slots games that we got here. Head to the website today to get on the action. Use promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% free bet credit on your first deposit up to $250. BetOnline, the game starts here. These things are written as if I work there. Like, I'm going to walk over and, like, serve you your drink as you're, cooling off with the slot machines.
Welcome to BetOnline. What can I get you to drink?
Yeah, exactly. So we're going to do Dynasty. Top 11 to 20. however many shows ago, you surmised, I believe, that we would have like no crossover in our lists. Or was it the opposite? Did you think we were going to be the same on this?
No, I said zero. We will have zero players in the identical slot. You said, did you say one?
I mean, like over under four or five now that I'm thinking about it.
But I have a question. Did you consult Mr. Camaro and Cheat to get notes together? I did not. I just...
No, this is pure,
basically,
100%
top of my head.
Unadulterated brewski right here. There's no influence.
So these could be...
They could be interesting.
I think it was... who had the term at Roto World of garbage in, garbage out or something? I can't remember. Like, somebody said that, like, we don't read other people's stuff.
I don't really...
Yeah, I'm sort of like that.
I'm very much like that. I don't think I get influenced too much by
like the analysis that, you know, is like out there. I'm
really picky. There's probably like 5 to 10 people out there that I will kind of, when I hear them, I'm not even talking about individual beat writers. I think you got to listen to the beat writers and they're there on the ground and they know things. But like in terms of just like your basketball analysis, I don't like listen to anybody.
Yeah, I'm kind of brainwashed by Twitter. You know, the Twitter feed, I see so much stuff there because I follow like 400 basketball writer guys or whatever. So I see so much stuff there. I feel like that's enough.
Yeah, it's an interesting time for just this, the industry at large. You know, the way the algorithms with Twitter now work is you really have to just spam with analysis, right? And okay, that sounds great, but like there's 50 people maybe in the whatever segment of things that we're talking about, and how within an algorithmic driven environment are you going to distinguish between the people who are actually like doing work or the people who are just putting a few tweets together? And the noise level out there, I think it's an advantage. I think that, you know, you're going to get a lot of market impacts because kind of influencer crowd is out there doing whatever they're doing and they're shaping people's sort of thoughts and stuff. But I mean, if you're just a Joe off, that was easier 10, 15 years ago, you would just go to Roto World and you would read some stuff and it was like clear that people were working really hard and in the trenches giving you good analysis. Now I would have no clue. I mean, if you were really dialed into like the 50 influencers out there who are doing stuff and you just kind of knew which one was really, really super good, maybe you could figure out a couple. But like, if you didn't have time for that and you just looked at your feed and you're like, oh, this guy's feeding me something. Okay, this person's feeding me something. This person's feeding me something. I'd have no clue. And I think that's actually a really good advantage for our outfit to be able to cut through that noise. And, you know, folks who are subscribed to our premium products, I guess is a good time to pitch stuff. Our premium product folks, you know, they're getting the best of the best information from people who really, truly are in the trenches working this stuff every day. Not so much on the influencer side, but actually like looking at analysis and producing analysis and all that good stuff. So that's my little rant on that. Dynasty-wise, Friday, we'll have Mark Camaro in. I'm really excited about that. He can laugh at all of our picks here.
Yeah, I wish we would have talked to him before we did this.
It might be, yeah, Friday we might get humbled a little bit. I don't know. But we're pretty good at this. I think we got this, Steve.
There's no right or wrong answers. That's the great thing about this.
There are no right or wrong answers. I'm kind of curious if we have the same order here. So to kind of recap here, I'll look and see if can I remember my top 1 to 10, because I actually had to like reorder this list. Doc, for your edification here, you had Wembanyama at 1, Luka at 2, SGA at 3, Jokic at 4. Anthony Edwards at 5, Chet at 6, Halliburton at 7, Scottie Barnes at 8, Tatum at 9, 10 was Trey. We had basically the same top 4 in a different order. I piggybacked off your aunt. I stole your pick there. Chet at 6, 7 for Halliburton, Barnes at 8. Yeah, we were like carbon copies of each other. I had Maxey at 9, and then I put Embiid in the top 10, even though he's 30 years old and has one leg. I'm going to announce who I have at 11. And that player is actually Joel Embiid, who I had at 10, the last one. So I will just say that I actually bumped Trae Young up to 10 in my rank. So I put Embiid at 11. And the reason why I bumped Trae Young up, other than DeMar DeRozan, or probably not DeMar DeRozan, DeJounte Murray getting out of Atlanta,
I was swayed by your argument, Doc, about him. I was also, I think he has displayed in the past this upside that is really undeniable. And at his age, at 26 years old, I mean, this is a guy who can keep kind of doing what he's doing at a high level for at least seven more seasons. So you might be in an eight cat league, you might be looking at Trey Young, you know, as a first round value for some significant amount of time. So I just couldn't say no to that. So I brought him up and Joel Embiid down. Who, sir, did you have at 11?
I have Jalen Williams.
All right. Pause for applause.
Yeah, I actually, you know, I think we had that conversation sort of tangentially in the last episode. I mean, folks, sorry, I did a re-rank of my ranks because I was looking at it a little bit more closely. But I think I moved Jalen up to eight. That bumped a few people down. That bumped Scotty Barnes down to nine. I had Maxey at nine. I actually moved Maxey down to 12. So Jalen Williams, maybe give me a few bars on your thoughts on Jalen Williams, because you've been pretty, I mean, I know eight is aggressive for me, but like you've been pretty aggressive just in terms of what you think his upside is. So what are your thoughts about Jalen in general?
Yeah, and he was one of those guys last year I reached in almost every league just because I wanted him on all my teams. And I could only imagine how good he would be if he was the alpha dog and didn't have to play behind SGA, because SGA gets all the headlines and highlights and everything. But Jalen is really, really good. And he's so young. And this is Dynasty. And, you know, I just think Oklahoma City is the team of the future. And I think Jalen Williams is a huge part of that. And, you know, I thought about putting him in my top 10.
The fact that he's as good as he is with the potential for, if anything, you know, Shai Gilgeous Alexander hasn't been like perfectly healthy in his career. If anything was to ever happen there and to sap his effectiveness, the question would be, can Jalen actually be a number one in this league? And I think he absolutely can. You know, when you look at numbers right now, you can kind of just get a glimpse of what they would be if they were elevated into a number one status. And then the next question that comes to my mind is, what happens with the efficiency? And I think the efficiency will be just fine. Yeah, he's scalable. He can be that first round value year after year. And if he's a number two, then he'll be just fine as well. I mean, he might not be a first round value every single season, but I think tucking himself into the second round is extraordinarily doable. So excellent pick there. As I mentioned, I moved Tyrese Maxey down to 12. Do you have Tyrese Maxey in your 11 to 20 anywhere?
He is there, but he's not at 12. Almost. Close. This is one of these deals where I'm never going to draft this guy.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
But I had to put him on the list because he's so good, and it's the guy that you just got done talking about a couple minutes ago. Joel Embiid is at number 12 for me, but I'm not drafting him.
Pound for pound, like, if you want to try to sort by, say, like, per 36 rankings, Joel Embiid's still number one. You know, his pop is undeniable. So it's a little unfair to even bring in the concept of win now players. If it's a win now situation, obviously he's way up higher. But still, even if you were starting a league today, you might get 3-4 seasons of per game value that's competing for the top slot.
It's interesting that Kawhi Leonard bowed out of the Olympics, and, you know, hopefully he'll be able to resume his career. I don't know at this point, man. I don't know when. I don't know if we're ever going to see the Kawhi Leonard we saw last year. But Philly cannot be super, super hyped about Joel Embiid playing basketball all summer.
Not at all. And then Kawhi stuff's super interesting. It could kind of go either way. It's like either a good thing that he's trying to gear up for next season, or it's a sign that things are just bad. And I don't know if the Clippers are kind of smart enough, or I don't know what's going on with the Clippers. I'll just put it that way. Like, maybe the Clippers aren't the problem with like the Paul George stuff, losing all the assets and watching Paul George sort of walk out the door. Maybe it's a Paul George issue. Maybe it's the Clippers issue. But like, did they give him a bunch of money and not know the medical on him somehow? That's a question that's been banging around my brain. Did Kawhi land in your 11 to 20 by chance?
Oh, no.
Who was after 12 for you?
I don't love it, but I've got Alperen Şengün at 13.
You're not going to find a fan over here.
He's not on your list.
He's not on it. No. I mean, I get it, right? Like, this to me boils down to this like central question. You either believe that he can hack it on the defensive side or you don't. And I think you believe he's going to hang there enough to be basically a 30-minute guy. And with all those numbers, that's going to just pile up to fantasy goodness. And I'm thinking he might not hack it.
Unlike Jalen Williams, right? Jalen Williams is here. He's arrived. It's happening. Very safe. Safe pick. With Şengün, it's more feeding into the hype, thinking that the future is going to be really bright for him and that he's going to get a lot better than he is right now, because there are holes in his game. You know, if he stays exactly the same as he is right now, that's a terrible pick. It's a terrible, it's not good. He should be more like third or fourth round. But I think he's going to get better.
He's got to take sort of a Jokic, and I don't even like going here. I don't like this let's compare him to Jokic idea, because Jokic is a totally different player in the sense that he's got super long arms, he's taller, and, you know, like, physically, he's just a lot faster. You know, he's just a different player with that length. But he's got to get that overall toughness mentality of, you know, like Jokic, once the writing was on the wall for him, he got in shape. That's primarily what happened. And then his effort level, like Michael Malone would basically lose his mind every time Jokic would foul 80 feet away from the hoop. And he'd kind of be like tired and out of shape and like hack, you know, he'd just not gotten a call. It was all very kind of young player stuff. And then he changed. He stopped complaining as much. He lost the body fat. And he, in terms of turning and running both directions on the floor, he became one of the better big men in the league in doing that. And Şengün is really like, the year before was the worst with, you know, obviously a bad situation there, but so much just bad on the defensive side from an effort standpoint. And then all of the limitations were just piling up. And then he got those great defensive teammates, and he got Ime Udoka as a coach, and just like was protected by those other guys. Now he's going to have to take that next step and lose a little bit of the weight. And that's kind of the issue, is like, he's really good because of the weight, you know, the strength on the offensive side. When he starts pivoting down low, it's pretty much impossible to keep up with. And so he'll have to have that trade-off choice of, you know, do I get really super light and in shape so I can defend the pick and roll and lose a little bit on the offensive side, or am I gonna, you know, just kind of keep going how I'm going? But the effort and all of that stuff and being in shape, I gotta see that out of him.
He burned us. He burned me for the first couple of years. Then last year I felt like he took a big step, and I'm just hoping that he keeps taking those steps. So who you got at 13, Brew?
13, Jalen Johnson. The big question there, Jalen Johnson. He got big minutes last season, almost 34 a game. Now, Kyle Kuzma, if we want to talk like ADPs, did everybody a big favor because he hacked him on a play. He had no chance of covering him on a breakaway dunk situation. And then that kind of led to more badness down the road. You know, it was like, I don't know, like the injury bad luck just kept accumulating for him, and his ankles started becoming those Dorito ankles that we used to talk about with Steph Curry back in the day. And so he didn't have the kind of wow finish. He might have finished with like second round value last season if all that didn't happen. And so it was like a big minute, big opportunity season for him. That's kind of the question I have with him, is like, how scalable are these numbers? You know, he already got the biggest bite at the apple that he might get in a normal situation. Now, he's going to improve, of course,
He's just 22 and a half years old right now. When I saw him, he jumped off the page. We ranked him many, many rounds higher than anybody else last year, and we all just had all of the Jalen Johnson out there. So I feel like his unofficial father.
Bro, you know, you always point out that I'm still mad at Zion Williamson from like 3 years ago.
Yeah, I'm very mad at Kyle Kuzma. I can't tell
you. You are extremely angry with Kyle Kuzma.
Oh, dude, honestly, like, if that hadn't happened, I think we would have been, like, first place in, like, every league. Like, yeah, I'm very mad at Kyle Kuzma.
Would you say it chaps your ass?
Yeah, oh, God, yeah. And you know what? And the Sacramento Kings fans are like, I want Kyle Kuzma. I think it's dumb on its face, and I'm also mad about it. So please don't add Kyle Kuzma to the situation, Sacramento. I just don't want that in my life.
I love me some Jalen Johnson. I have him at 17.
We'll see what Mark Camaro says. If I'm crazy.
I'm really interested to see what Mark Camaro says about Alperen Sengun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, me too. I think I'm on an island with that one. But
no, you guys are probably on the same page. I'm probably gonna look out of place on that one.
How to just sense that Houston's not ready to just like turn it over to him yet, that Adoka's like, man, like you gotta get that dog in you before I'm gonna just make you the centerpiece of our team, especially with all these veterans around. So I think it's a year or two before the question of Sengun gets answered. But that'll be a fun one on Friday. Okay, so you had Jalen at 17.
My 14 is your guy, Ty Maxey.
He's young, super fast. That sidestep three that he has is
fun.
I kind of look at him. He might be a top five shooter in the league. What do you think about that?
He's a good shooter. I'd say he's one of the better shooters in the league. I don't know if he's top five, but he's. I didn't know when he was younger that he was going to be bombing threes at will and making so many of them. Does Paul George hurt him at all?
That Paul George situation is really just best case stuff for like everybody involved. I mean, Paul George, if they are fully healthy, will do Paul George things. And we've seen him play next to high usage guys and be just fine. And then he doesn't take so many shots that he's going to hurt Maxey. And I kind of think Maxey, in terms of like a weapon, is probably ahead of Paul George at this point in time. That's a little uncomfortable to say, but I mean, Paul George isn't going to beat you with like any one thing specifically. He's not faster than everybody. He's not taller than everybody. He can't jump higher than everybody. He just kind of gets his buckets sort of professionally and can keep doing it and he'll still take over a game. And I'm not even sure that's an entirely true statement. Whereas Maxey, like, you know, front to back, like how many players are as fast as that guy? Like three, you know, It's pretty impressive what he can do. So I think Maxey keeps getting fed is kind of the point there. And then for everybody involved, Joel Embiid decides he doesn't want to play for 40 games, you know, and that's a little unfair because it's not him making the decision, but you know what I mean? Like he doesn't play for 40 games and both those guys, Paul George or Maxey, are just set up to go huge. So this is a really big deal. I like Maxey a lot there. Who do you have after Maxey on your list?
I don't like it. Donovan Mitchell.
This is where it got really interesting in these ranks. As we start getting to the Donovan Mitchells of the world, you know, the issue there is obviously injury sort of related. I had him at 16.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. I mean, he warrants consideration there. He's 28 years old. This is his prime. I look at Mitchell as a guy who at any given time can compete with any player in the NBA in a game. Like if Jokic or whoever is just going crazy, right? Mitchell could be on the other side bombing threes and being uncoverable and going basket for basket with whoever.
I mean, he's really good. I mean, he's really, really good. And he's... Does he have another gear he can get into? He might. I think the move to Cleveland was good for him. And, you know, if he can stay healthy, I still think he's going up instead of down. So the funny thing about doing this list is how I rank these guys
is one thing, but like when I put out my guys list, like Donovan Mitchell is not one of my guys, and Joel Embiid is not one of my guys. So it feels weird to be hyping these guys when I'm really not that into them. But now I would not have any problem drafting Donovan Mitchell. I'm just not going to go out head hunting for him.
It's a tough thing when you're doing these ranks. I mean, I do it with the B150 every year. At the end of the day, like I will rank them based on where I would select them almost like 9 out of 10 times. But there is that, you know, when the clock comes, when the clock's ticking and it's your pick and you got to go with your gut and you got one guy ranked above another and you're like, I don't want the one on top. You know, I there's something about that. And so that's always fun when the clock's ticking during draft day.
So who'd you have at 14?
Yeah, I had Tatum at 14.
Ah.
And you had him at 9,
like, I think. 10? 9 or 10?
Yeah.
9.
I mean, it's the same Jason Tatum discussion we've always had. Is not good. He's great. Don't get me wrong. He's great. But, like, I mean, Boston's just sort of locked into that situation for the next 2 to 3 years. That takes him to, what, 28, 29 years old. He'll still be in his prime at that point in time. What happens after 2 to 3 years of Boston going through whatever and an ownership change? Can Tatum hit another gear statistically as a player? I don't really think so. And he still gets so many shots right now. And then with Tatum, I wonder with him, like, what does it look like when he starts slowing down a little bit? And also, what does it look like if refereeing changes of it anyway? He's a lot like James Harden with his dribble drive game to the hoop. So that's something that, like, when I looked at Jalen Johnson and Tyrese Maxey, it's like these guys might have more, you know, like upside. They might have more gears. They're younger. I don't worry about Jalen Johnson's athleticism, like in the relation to the position he plays, with Jason Tatum being a perimeter kind of oriented playmaker. That's where I get a little iffy. So got him at 14. Did you have any other thoughts on Tatum before I?
Nah, I think we covered him pretty good.
Pretty good.
The last one.
Because I think 15 is super interesting. I got Evan Mobley.
Oh, nice. He is not on my list, but I thought about it.
Good. That makes me feel a little bit better. I guess since he's my pick, I'll go in on him. 23 years old, buried a little bit still in Cleveland. And so we haven't really gotten to see him just like strictly at the center position, you know, getting a better chance for a higher block rate, a little bit more efficiency, playing closer to the hoop. You know, he's got a lot of room to grow. He only hit 71.9% of his free throws. So, you know, what happens if he can figure that out, as players tend to do? Can he get that close to 80? So there's like upside in his game. Now he's only bringing back like mid-third round value. So that's not great, but, you know, I'm like asking myself, okay, what if he does this? What if he does that? What if that mid-third round value becomes like early second round value? What if he truly does, you know, kind of cash in on some of that high draft pick, you know, cachet, so to speak? So that was the thinking there. Are you concerned about him at all?
I feel like he's only going to get better. So a little bit like with Sengun, you know, you're kind of gambling that Mobley's going to keep improving and stay healthy. But he's young enough. There's enough hype around him coming in. Like he should live up to it, I would think. So I would rather take Mobley. Yeah, I would draft Mobley. I would not draft Embiid. So I went with, okay, if I'm gonna publish these rankings, and
that's our big question, right?
People are gonna pay me for this. Do they want what I think the order should be, or do they want the order that I would do? Because if I'm doing it myself, it looks a lot different than what this looks like. But anyway, 16. I've got your guy, your Sacramento King, Domantas Sabonis.
that dude is so consistent. Like, he's going to be, like, think David Lee and the numbers he was producing late in his career, later in his career. And DeMontis will, like, outdo that guy by, like, 3 or 4 years. I get it. Like, he is definitely, like, you could just ink it in there every single night that he's going to do what he's going to do. I didn't have him in my top 20. I don't think he would be far off. I think he would probably be 20 to 30, maybe early 30s, if I was to go deeper into this rabbit hole here. I don't think, I mean, as we covered the other day, that the DeMar DeRozan thing is great for him. Sacramento is going to feed him, like, just relentlessly to kind of make do on all of the things that they've, you know, kind of angled themselves toward there. So I'm good with it. It's as safe as it gets.
That's the thing. It's very safe. He doesn't miss games. He's really good at the things he does well.
Extraordinarily good.
He doesn't get you the big man stat so much, but he's a triple-double threat every time out. So, he's just very safe.
He's safe, and I got to say it, actually. People really think that I, like, don't like the guy or something. I love watching DeMontis Sabonis play basketball. It is a treat. Like, Sacramento Kings games used to be terrible to watch. Like, Corey Joseph was being celebrated as a great point guard, and he would, like, throw the ball to the other team and not do anything of value. Sabonis bringing the ball up, it's like a ballet of greatness, and you just see this beautiful flowy action, and I get why people are in love with it. Love watching him play, and it's a great pick there. Let me pull up my screensaver, just locked on me here. What do I got?
So it's 17. I had Jalen Johnson, who we've already covered. So who do you have at 17?
Well, speaking of Sacramento, I got De'Aaron Fox. I'm even basing this off of him not being a good foul shooter. Like, that he's just going to keep plugging along. 75%, 77%, something like that. He was 73.8% last year. He's damn good. And there's a lot to be said about, you know, his career arc and how he got here. But where he's at right now, he has an incredible handle. Like, that, the combo of his handle and his athleticism is not fair. Automatic bucket. If he can get the foul shooting figured out, that's a huge jump in value. I think he's like a late first round guy.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
With that, maybe even more. So that's really 26.5 years old. You're going to get that kind of production out of him for 5 or 6 seasons. So that's why I got him there.
Yeah, he's so fast. And like you said, like, there's no reason. I mean, just like Luka, like, there's no reason Fox should not be able to make free throws, right?
It makes no sense. Shooting coach, Luke Locks, probably getting that name wrong, but he has, I think they just, the style of his shot, like, the 3-point shot is easier for him to figure out because of the distance and the follow through. And when he's at the foul line, he's doing this weird thing with his head where I think he's like kind of moving it around right as he shoots. And they just probably haven't gotten to that. They took a lot of grief for the foul shooting. He's talked about that in conferences. He's using it as an excuse for some of the other bigger issues defensively that the Kings had, but his point's always been like, if I make my free throws, we win 4 or 5 games, we're in the playoffs, and kind of like, you know, we don't have as many problems as we have.
So I think he's probably, that's his offseason focus. So if Fox jumps from 74 to 78 this year, I wouldn't be shocked at all. I think he might have that in his bag. This list gets really weird for me after that. Ja Morant is my 18. There's so many problems with this. There's the fact that we don't know if he's sort of learned his lesson with all the off-the-court stuff. There's the fact that he flies high in the sky. He's, you know, going to land on the ground a lot. He's light of frame. I mean, you could, like, talk about, like, not the purest shooter in the world. What else with Ja Morant? Free throws, maybe, I don't know, seem like they might come and go a little bit. I think if this is a exclusively nine cat ranking, I probably would be a little bit lower on Ja Morant. But as I was looking at the rest of the list, you know, we've got the big name guys who are older, who are kind of studs, you know, Kevin Durant's of the world. Anthony Davis was a stud. You know, I'm not putting a lot of stock in those guys because of their age, because of their injury situations and things like that. And I'm looking through this list and I'm just going, all right, who's young and who could be like an MVP candidate? And for me, that's Ja Morant. What do you think, Steve?
I had him in my top 20, but he got bumped out. He literally is sitting at 21 on my sheet, which there is no 22. I stopped at 21 and Ja was 21. But, you know, it's interesting. You just mentioned Anthony Davis. And I'm like, well, if we're not going to have Anthony Davis in our top 20 for dynasty ranks, which I don't know, maybe you do have him. But if we're not going to have Anthony Davis, why do we have Joel Embiid?
It's a very fair question. I have more faith that Joel Embiid is a top five NBA player. Like, I'm not on the Anthony Davis is still elite train. Like, I think he's exploitable defensively. I think his effort on a night-to-night basis is very bad. He doesn't have the offensive game that Joel Embiid does. So much about what Anthony Davis does on a basketball court irritates me. There, I said it. No, it's whereas with Joel Embiid, when I watch him, I'm like, he's not taking those stupid threes as much. Like, those were terrible, right? Like, the opposing team has a 6'6" center or something, and he's like, I'm going to shoot some threes now. So he's like using his body weight. You know, he'll take over a game. He'll go to the same shot over and over again if he thinks he can get it. Still, there's problems. I mean, those threes haven't completely gone away. Anthony Davis is like, what are you doing, man? Like, you're not a shooting guard. You know, like, do something aggressive, please. And then defensively, like, it's the effort and the exploitability. At least with Joel, I think he just parks it underneath the hoop a lot and doesn't get so exploited. I don't know.
You know, speaking of annoying big men,
who we got?
I have Carl Anthony Towns at 18.
Oh, boy.
And he's not one of my guys. Like, what am I doing? But, you know, when I think about Carl Anthony Towns, maybe this is me just being an old guy. But this is the guy we were taking number one.
Yeah, based on the fact that he didn't miss games.
Like, and this is the guy that, you know, can play inside and outside. And he is a fantastic basketball player, but it's just never really worked out for him in fantasy. And maybe I'm still brainwashed that he's better than he is. But man, I just feel like Minnesota's really good. Part of the reason they're really good is because of Carl Anthony Towns. I really didn't enjoy doing this 11 to 20 list because I had to put so many guys on it that I didn't feel great about. And he's definitely one of them, but, you know, he's Carl Anthony Towns.
Yeah. I mean, it was tempting. I'm pretty much out on Cat.
It was tempting, though. I'll say that. And I had the same kind of thought process as you. It was like, I looked at the name and I was like, man, you know, what if, or like, you know, take me back in time to those times where you're just like, man, he's the top pick. He was, you know, top five guy. And he's just sitting there. It's like, he's the same dude. Well, why is he so low? Okay, well, Rudy Gobert. I go, oh, Rudy, you know, to me, like, Rudy seems to be, like, playing with, like, you know, made a deal with the devil or something. Because 3 years ago, his knee looked terrible. And it just did not look like he was going to be able to be mobile. And then he got pretty mobile last year. And then in my head, I'm going, when's the rug going to get yanked out from underneath him? And then Cat goes back to center. He starts getting all those top five stats again. And then my mind went there. And then I said, no, I can't do it. And then I did something unforgivable. And I put Jaren Jackson Jr. at 19.
Oh, dude.
I know.
Jaren Jackson Jr. at 19. And I moved him to 20.
Are you serious?
Oh, we were so close.
Oh, my God.
Well, speaking of annoying big men.
Seriously, the
sort of a trend right now.
Welcome to the club.
Yeah, I've got Jaren Jackson Jr. in there. I mean, I was brainwashed as a young child by Jonas Nader on Triple J, and I'm still waiting for the explosion.
He's not even 25 years old yet.
The 5 or 6 rebounds a game last year. Like,
part of me is really wondering, like, what's up with the conditioning situation?
Back in the day, I always made fun of Derek Favors because he was like 28, but I always felt like he was like 50. And I always said, you know, pretty soon, next time we see Derek Favors, he's going to be down in Miami riding a three-wheeled bicycle with a fishing pole in his basket. And he's going to be wearing white socks with flip-flops 2 miles an hour. And it's like, just like the old dudes you see in Florida. But anyway, Jaren Jackson Jr. has so much talent, dude. Like, he's got to be better than this, right?
The conditioning thing is really on the front of my mind with him because, like, he was running like he had, like, a bad hip or something. And if he's a 25-year-old kind of just in-shape guy, he should be a lot faster and he should block more shots. And that maybe would motivate him to go get a rebound every once in a while. At 25 years old, with that skill set, and I mean, we're talking about a guy who has 81% of his free throws. Theoretically, he should go to the line a lot. Like, I think it's good that Ja Morant is back for him. I'm kind of curious if this is the year to draft him, you know, in like a redraft regular league after everybody got burnt, you know, so bad. And nobody wants anything to do with him. His offensive shot selection is trash.
Memphis has their own little big three, don't they? They've got Ja and Desmond Bane and Jaren Jackson Jr.
He can play efficient, yeah.
Well, we got my 19, I had Paolo Banchero.
Nice.
And at 20, I had Jaren Jackson Jr.
I don't have Paolo there. This is an upside play.
What you got?
Well, I got for 20, this is so boring. It is very boring. It's DeJounte Murray. It's just boring and bad and not advisable, probably. But, like, is he going to do anything differently than what he's done for the next, like, 4 or 5 years?
I mean, he's pretty good. I know. I think he's peaked. I don't know that we're going to see. I don't know that we're ever going to see, like, the DeJounte Murray we thought might be coming 3 or 4 years ago. I think this is about as good as it gets.
Yeah, I looked at it and, you know, it's kind of just looking at the players around him and their ages and just kind of like, I guess I could probably like make a question and say like, why not like Devin Booker or something? But I mean, Murray played 78 games last year. He doesn't strike me as a guy that's, you know, poised to miss a lot of time, even though he has in the past missed a lot of time. Just kind of like, I don't think his skill set's going to erode. It was a boring pick. My 21's much better.
I got to say. Who's your 21? Is it Devin Booker?
No. It's a guy that's probably has a potential to go undrafted in some standard leagues. And his name is Keegan Murray. I just can't say enough about the guy. He's, if we're going to do 21, I might as well. He's not yet 24 years old. Someday he will be given the ball and given it in high volume. He's efficient as all hell. Probably has upside in defensive categories. They've really, because of the defensive situation in Sacramento, they've made him the primary perimeter defender. That's wild. Like, that was not something I expected out of him coming into the league, that he would have that in his bag. I mean, he locks down guys like Paul George. And that's just a little, like, feather in his cap for what his skill set is. So, statistically, he's not going to hurt you anywhere. I think he's just going to get better and better and better, and I like him at 21. So,
I wrote down a couple guys that I left off my list that I thought you might have in there, but LaMelo Ball is always interesting to talk about. Giannis, neither one of us have Giannis in there. Cade Cunningham and Booker were probably the big one that I feel like I left off my list.
Giannis, but I can't do it.
Yeah, I can't either. I can't do any of those guys. That's why they're not on my list.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. You know what? This might turn into, like, the top 300 if we keep going. Like, and I probably could. But we won't, because we've done enough for this show. We're going to have to wrap it up here. Real quick, if you're still listening, the NFL Draft Guide is out, and our ADP tracker is about to be added. If you use the ADP tracker and the draft tracker in the NBA draft guide last season, you know what a competitive advantage that thing was. So keep an eye out for all of that in the NFL draft guide. Keep an eye out for the promos that we have running right now. I believe we're up to $8 on the All Sport, and you can get 24% off for 4 months on that. That's a monthly rate. You get to keep that rate as long as you keep your membership active. Just looking at the calendar here, those things might be like 15, 20 bucks within the next three to five years on that. So get your price locked in now. Be an early adopter of the Sports Ethos family of products, and we will lead you to greatness, folks. Tomorrow we're going to be talking to winners and losers for the Central Division. Shout out, great work on our baseball blurb feed, which is at Ethos Fantasy BB. Just want to shout those guys out. They're in like the meat and potatoes of their season. Their blurb feed is just rocking and rolling. The blurb feed is always the difference maker when it comes to fantasy analysis. That's something you get for free on the website, so you want to bookmark that page when you get there and check out that blurb feed. And shout out Anthony and Paul. You guys, all of your hard work is extremely noticed. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Andre, for producing a great show as usually. Thank you guys listening, for making Sports Ethos everything it is. This has been Fantasy NBA Today, presented by Bet Online, a Sports Ethos presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, be well.